Welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and the studios of WMOT-FM. Battles are breaking out all across the globe. There are reports of thermonuclear weapons being used. In the 24/7 news cycle, can you trust what you see on television? Can you trust what you see in print? We're going to talk about images in the media with Chris Harris, who is a professor of electronic media communication and a photographer with decades of experience. We'll find out how media manipulation can make us think World War III has actually occurred, or not, after these words from MTSUnews.com.
Here are some of the stories now on MTSUnews.com, the university's news and information website. Nashville Mayor Carl Dean presented MTSU with an honorable mention for the Mayor's Award for Outstanding System-Wide Partner as part of the 31st Annual Pencil Foundation's Bravo Awards on May 23rd. The Pencil Foundation connects businesses and volunteers with students in Metro Nashville Public Schools. MTSU students have won top honors and a $5,000 prize in a nationwide collegiate advertising competition to promote natural gas usage. Five members of MTSU's Natural Solutions team were in Washington, D.C. on May 24th for the finals of the America's Natural Gas Alliance Collegiate Energy Challenge. And the incoming dean of MTSU's College of Mass Communication, Ken Paulson, recently received an honorary doctorate degree from Buena Vista University in Storm Lake, Iowa. For MTSU News at any time, go to mtsunews.com.
Chris, thanks for being with us today.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to be here, Jenna. Thank you.
And it's been a long time.
It has been.
Yeah. Okay, so if CNN, Fox, ABC, NBC, and CBS, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Times of London, Le Monde, Agence France-Presse, and the BBC all reported at the same time that World War III had broken out, would you believe it?
Well, I certainly would want to see visuals, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Well, do you think the visuals would support that or not?
Oh, well, I don't know. It's kind of hard to fake a mushroom cloud.
It is, but let me ask you this. If you got one report, let's say, from Agence France-Presse, and it said that a thermonuclear device had gone off in Nice, France, okay, we'd expect to see some photographs.
Right.
Right? All right. What about other corroboration? We'd certainly expect Reuters to say that that had occurred, AP. We'd expect most of the news services. What you would expect is that you would have corroboration from other sources that said that, yes, the original report was true. We use this all the time. I'm sure you know, the New York Times has a mandatory rule that they can't run anything that hasn't been corroborated by at least two other witnesses to the situation. But what does that do with visuals? Let me play out a scenario for you. We just had the Boston bombing, and what we were able to see right then was the citizen collective, the idea of so many citizens, so many of the participants, so many of the watchers had either taken still photographs or videos of what was going on, that the police, after this bombing, went ahead and gathered up as much of this information as they could. And obviously they had a starting point. They knew where the bomb had gone off. So they tried to get as many photographs and visual images that showed that particular situation. When they did, they were able to cross-reference as to the two brothers. They could see that they had actually were standing right next to where it went off. They could see that there was a package there. There was no package there first. Then there was a package there after they left. So they were able to trace it down to that. Now, that's the kind of corroboration I'm talking about that is very valuable. You had multiple pictures that they were able to choose from that showed the brothers. They were easily identified by the two hats, one white, one black. They were able to follow them. So we had corroborative evidence that, yes, they were there. We knew that for a fact because we had many different sources, none of which could have so changed the scene that anybody would have thought different, that, okay, we've got so many of the things that would tie them in that it's obvious that they were there. It would be very easy to plant a picture. And by the way, this is not something that's new just because of our technologies. William Randolph Hearst and the San Francisco papers very famously said, give me the pictures and I'll give you the war. What he meant was, you know, give me something that's very visual that I could use, and then he would use that to his advantage.
Namely,
and he did.
The Spanish-American War is what we're talking about.
Exactly. I mean, almost 100 years ago to the date, quite frankly. So this is not a new technology issue. This is an issue of people who want to can always change things. During the American Civil War, many of the famous pictures are manipulated. Most people don't know that. Now, they aren't manipulated by technique. They're manipulated. One of the most famous ones is the photograph of the Confederate sharpshooter. The only problem is his name is William Hodge, I think it was, and he happened to be from Vermont and, in fact, had originally appeared in a, excuse the phrase, Yankee uniform. And they even changed him into a rebel uniform and then used pulled him over onto the rebel side to repose the picture. One of the most famous manipulations early on was a very famous French artist, Hippolyte Bayard. And he was protesting a new tax. So he had a photograph taken that showed him having slit his wrists in his tub, and he died fighting against the tax. All of it was a hoax, of course. It was just a picture that showed him looking as though he had slit his wrist, etc. So now we come to the modern time. First of all, remember that we now have distribution that can hit a billion people in, what, 3 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
Twitter, Facebook, all these different kinds of services that we've got that will allow an image that used to might take 2 days for it to be processed and printed and get to somewhere, now instantly can go around the world. Let me ask you a very simple question. When's the last time you saw a retraction on a web video or on a web photograph? Probably never.
Happens even less frequently than retractions do for print stories that are
Absolutely.
In error.
So once this kind of false information, misinformation, disinformation gets into the internet, it's there to stay. So what would happen? All it would take would be somebody who wants to play around with Photoshop to get a photograph of Nice. You don't have to show the mushroom cloud necessarily as much as you would you might show people whose skin is peeling off. You might show people running away. Well, it could be an image that was taken maybe during the Second World War, doctored up a little bit, okay, in mm-hmm. Photoshop, which is so easy to do. I teach Photoshop to freshmen and sophomores, and they come in now, and they can do the most extraordinary things with it before I even get to them. I mean, this is something, Photoshop is something that they're using in schools and everywhere else. But because we're so familiar with it, and because we're used to absolutely trusting our visuals, we aren't asking the right questions anymore. So I could easily see somebody doctoring images that could be old, could be taken now, shaping them into a form that would be hard for people to understand, and then having them react. This is no different than what occurred with audio during the War of the Worlds broadcast in the 20s or 30s?
No, it was the 30s.
30s, okay. We're going to choose visuals over what may even make common sense. We're going to choose those visuals. And by the way, as graphic, as incredible as the visuals can be, the better. That's what we feed off of nowadays.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. We're going to take a brief pause. We'll be back with more on MTSU on the Record in just a moment.
The mission of the June Anderson Center for Women and Non-Traditional Students is to provide education, advocacy, direct services, outreach, and programming for the MTSU campus and surrounding community on gender-related issues. The center also assists older students who are trying to balance work, college, and family. It also sponsors a monthly legal clinic, career brown bag series, book club, and a newsletter twice a year. For all of the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
We're talking with Chris Harris, professor of electronic media communication, about images and the manipulation of images. What is the difference between a sensationalistic photo And a photo that tells the story. Are you getting carried away there in the assignment editor's office with the spectacular nature of what you see to the point that it overrides your journalistic sense?
Right. And also, don't forget that that journalistic sense should always include that we're here to show visuals for those who weren't here. We're here to show the actuality of what did occur. Now, what we got out of the Boston bombings, if you saw a lot of the video afterwards, by the way, before I even get into that, I want to point out something. The people who covered the Boston bombers were the B team, the C team. This was 4 hours after the initial race had finished. This was 4 hours after the winners had been declared. So the A team was there for that. Then they went back to transmit their pictures about who won the Boston Marathon.
Because the A-team were sports reporters. They were there to cover the Boston Marathon. They weren't there to cover hard news.
Exactly. So what was left was, the other guys in the bus. And I mean guys meaning both women and men. What it means is it's not the A-team, that they're back there at the news station getting ready for the 5 o'clock news where they have to do the winner. But somebody, they had the responsibility, so somebody was there to make sure that you cover the rest of what goes on. There could be great human interest stories. Well, yeah. They turned out to be the greatest human interest story, right. And that was these are the people that actually were there when it occurred, initially reported it. And don't forget, the first thing that an amateur would do would be to get on the air and say, wow, it's the worst thing that ever happened. Da, 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 da.
Art Morrison, Oh, the Humanity.
Oh, like the Humanity, at the exactly, yeah. Exactly. But what occurred here was they kept saying, we don't know. We don't know for sure. Now, CNN got into a little bit of a problem because they had news anchors that were trying to make a more compelling story that did not fit with the visuals. The stock market dropped 150 points over a Twitter thing that said that Obama had been bombed in the White House. That was because AP had been hacked.
Yes.
So that tweet goes out. It was a twit tweet. went out. And it went out and people started believing it. And of course, because people now put computers in charge of their stock transactions on the stock market, it triggered a signal that said sell, sell, sell. So the stock market dropped 150 points in 15 minutes. That's the impact of a tweet that was hacked at a major news agency. So what happens if you have two different hackers, one going for Agency France Presse, one going for
Reuters.
Perry March or Reuters. And so what happens if you've got two hackings going on at the same time, which could certainly be controlled by one particular government group or whatever, and you start slipping in these images to verify? Oh, look, Reuters and Agency France Presse now have these images that show this thing actually occurred without it ever having occurred.
Well, what kind of safeguards can news agencies put up to make sure that their images are not manipulated for malicious purposes or that they are not hacked into by either state agents or non-state agents attempting to cause mayhem? This is, in effect, cyber terrorism.
Stop trying to be the fastest deliverer of the news. Be the one who is known for being the fastest delivery with the best believable news. Be the one that studies and gets the facts first. Don't be the first one to appear on air. You know, one of the great things about newspapers having such a lag time until they appear is it gave you enough time to make corrections. Gave you enough time that if you found out a piece of information was false, you could make a correction into that second printing or whatever.
And gave the media consumer time to analyze and digest.
Absolutely.
Instead of going with their first knee-jerk reaction to the first few paragraphs and waiting until they absorb the entire article so that they have a more comprehensive picture of what
Absolutely. So even though with the new technologies, we may have some great qualities to it, getting out that information that we may need to. A tsunami is underway. And there was an earthquake in Alaska. The tsunami may hit the Hawaiian Islands in 14 hours. That's great because you can get that news out. But all it takes is one person who's not sitting there and doing their job about, well, I really need to check. Maybe I should call the U.S. Weather Service or whoever would be in charge of that and find out, is there a tsunami and is it going to hit there, you know? Mm-hmm. And by the way, I wouldn't stop at that one source. I'd start checking in Japan to see whether or not they've got signals from the U.S. government that says that they need to watch out, or Hawaii, or wherever it may be. There are ways of checking, but all that that requires is expenditure of a little bit of time and not to be the first out with the news.
Okay, what if the catastrophe is happening in a country with government owned and dominated media in a totalitarian state where you can't trust it, and yet you've got the public who are out taking pictures or videos of this cataclysmic event, but you don't know if you can trust them because they're not professional journalists?
Well, we have that thing going on right now in Syria. Right now in Syria, we have independent visuals, independent videos that show what appears to be chemical warfare being used. There's been plenty of videos that show people who are getting oxygen. Some of them have some blister burns, but you can see that it usually has to do with some kind of breathing problem. Part of that politically dicey situation includes the fact that Russia has been shipping missiles to Syria in order for them to defend themselves. So we've got a huge escalation possibility here. We've got Russia and the United States basically staring each other in the face over missiles that have been imported into Syria. So if you prefer CBS News or ABC or Fox News, that's up to you. That's a judgment that you would make based on your value system of what they have proven you in the past. So what happens when you've got something like the Syria situation come up where you can't parse that video information because we don't have our own trusted reporters in there who we've grown to value their trust? But at the same time, we know that if they ever show that they were manipulating anything or anything like that, not only would they be out of a job, but CBS would lose credibility, CNN would lose credibility, Fox would lose credibility. So that's what I think we have to come back to, is each media taking a very positive control of what they supply to the world. Citizen journalists don't understand that sometimes their videos or their still photographs can be so biased that it loses the proper perspective in what we might use them for. Let me put it this way. It's easy to photograph bodies and use them as impact. Situation is, as we know, we will photograph and we will have pictures of blown up bodies, people who are on fire, or whatever it may be, if it comes from Syria. But if it comes from the United States, we are not going to show that of our own citizens. This occurs worldwide. India will do the same thing. They'll run pictures showing a Pakistani typhoon and it wiped out 50,000 people, but they won't show it of their own people. This is just a normal situation. So what we really have to safeguard is the idea that news is news. It is sacrosanct, that even if it affects our own people. So we trust our images, and we should be able to trust our images. My concern is that we aren't having as much concern over visuals as we are necessarily with words. Mm-hmm. And I think that because of the age that we're in now, we really have to pay attention to that. Visuals is what drives us now.
We'll be back with more in just a moment. This is MTSU on the Record.
The Middle Tennessee Writing Project is a program that fosters the effective teaching of writing to students in kindergarten through high school. The project hosts annual summer institutes where teacher participants teach and learn from each other effective techniques of teaching writing. In addition, the project sponsors summer writers' camps for youngsters. MTSU is one of 185 sites of the National Writing Project and one of only two in Tennessee. For all the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
We're talking about the manipulation of images with Chris Harris of the Department of Electronic Media Journalism. If you're a layperson, if you're not an expert in photography or videography, how do you look at a still photo or a video and tell whether it's been manipulated or not?
If you see that the light is normally coming, if I'm looking at a photograph and the light is normally coming from right to left, And then all of a sudden I have an arm that shows maybe a shadow going a different way. That's a pretty good tip off. Okay.
Yeah.
And so those kinds of things you can pick up on. Another kind is usually people who make these kinds of manipulations, those who want to manipulate an image can do it so that we can't tell it. So the ones that we normally see are the ones that are just manipulated so poorly.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have one I just showed to a class was it's an ad that's put together, and obviously it had a picture of a woman and then two separate pictures of boys. And they decided to put the woman as though she's at the beach with the boys sitting around in the sand. And they had so improperly done the manipulation that it looked like the woman's hand, instead of going around the back of the boy, they had pasted it down so it looked like her hand was going into his shorts or something. And this was a national ad. And they didn't catch it. They didn't even catch it because people are willing to look at visuals and not question what goes on.
I wonder why we don't just slow down and stop getting so fascinated with the brilliant things that our toys can do so that we have an opportunity to learn how to use the toys properly. Here's a pencil, here's an iPhone. They're both tools. They both are practical things that you can use. I would rather have Gandhi using a pencil than Hitler using an iPhone.
Oh, absolutely.
It's all about the people who manipulate.
And don't pass it on to Goebbels.
Why don't we just stop being our little children with toys for once and start comprehending the power that these toys have to do both good and harm?
Well, I think it's the same reason as why some people don't believe that the printed word counts anymore. And that is that it's all just simple beliefs. People think that they can go on out and take a photograph. Technically now, if you're making an improper exposure, that's about 1% of humanity now.
Yeah.
You know, now with a cell phone, I can get better exposures than I ever could with my film camera and a light meter. And I mean, everything is so precise right now. It is gorgeous. It's a wonderful way to shoot pictures. But people aren't forgetting what visual information is all about. Content. And I don't know how we get the public more aware of the validity of what they take images of, because we often get them taking things that we don't normally see. Now we have to be concerned, more concerned, about what that content really is about. And by the way, don't forget, most people do forget this, but even on the still digital cameras, nowadays there's usually a place where you can record sound. Soon, it is going to trip us up. Whether or not we become involved in a World War III, or whether or not it just becomes a spitting contest over a neighbor's fence, or whatever it may be. Down the line here, things are going to be manipulated by those who want to manipulate society. So it won't be one or two people. More than likely, it's going to be a group. You know, the Syrians have their hacking group. The Chinese have their hacking group. Everybody does. We all know this. Okay, but what the ones we can't control are anonymous, you know, in a country. They could go and say, well, all the money's been looted, and here's pictures showing somebody hauling out the money. And
what do they want? What if they try to mess with the World Bank or the International Monetary Fund?
There you go. We should always use that as input of information that we should then compare with another source. If they triangulate, if they cross, okay, then more than likely you can believe whatever it is.
We'll take one more brief break and be back in just a moment with MTSU on the Record.
The Army ROTC College Program at MTSU prepares students mentally, physically, and emotionally to become leaders and promotes virtues of duty, honor, country. ROTC cadets are involved in all academic disciplines, athletics, and student organizations at MTSU. Full scholarships and tuition assistance are awarded based on merit. All cadets upon graduation will serve their country as second lieutenants either in the Army, Army Reserve, or Army National Guard. For all the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
In our remaining moments with Chris Harris from the Department of Electronic Media Communication, how do you feel about us becoming a surveillance society? Surveillance videos all over the place help us catch burglars, crooks, people who try to hold up liquor stores and convenience stores. But on the other hand, are we paying too high a price for that kind of security?
Well, is the too high of a price that you lose out on your privacy?
I think it is when it comes to Google being able to shoot you from the street, even though you have a 10-foot high fence and maybe you like to sunbathe in the nude behind that 10-foot fence. And Google is not trespassing on your property, but they're shooting in your backyard.
Absolutely double-edged sword. We've witnessed it as occurred in England, where they have CCTV all over the place, closed-circuit television. And it has solved a lot of heinous murders. You remember there was the 4 or 5-year-old child that was led away at a railway station. They were able to get hold of the video and trace it down as to who it was who had killed this kid and things like that. We have a faculty member who bought a little drone and put a Pro HV camera on it the other day and got some amazing photographs. Just around here on campus. But what I'm getting at is we didn't even know that camera was there. I mean, you could hear a little buzz, but you couldn't see it because it was so small.
Here we've
got this. And by the way, they're now making surveillance cameras. And in fact, they're calling them mosquito hawks, because they're so small, and they'll be able to send them into a window. So if you had a hostage situation, you could send them in through the back door, through the window, and they'd go through the house and be able to show you what's going on.
Wow. It's not like Jimmy Stewart in Rear Window, is it?
Not anymore. But think about what the possibilities are now with these little drones in particular.
Can you imagine what Jimmy Stewart would have done in Rear Window with digital photography?
Oh, I'm telling you, think about that. Now, let's take that as a premise. I know we don't have very much time left, but let's take that as a premise. So he could have, again, accused the person of the murder through his imagery.
He could have probably gotten in so far as to be able to see the bathtub where he purportedly chopped up his wife.
By the way, that was Raymond Burr. First time we saw Raymond Burr on screen.
It was Raymond Burr. He could have probably seen, you know, gotten a close-up of Miss Lonely Heart's date.
I'm telling you.
He could have found out who choked the dog.
All of that could have been used to form a story, but as we know, that may not have been the real story.
It might have just been something that Jimmy thought up in his head.
Right.
So or Hitchcock thought up in his head, which is scarier.
Really, isn't that the truth?
Chris Harris, thanks for being with us today.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
MTSU On the Record, a news and information program about Middle Tennessee State University, is produced by the university's Marketing and Communications Office, which is solely responsible for its content. Read more about MTSU at our website, mtsunews.com. Podcasts of this program are available at mtsunews.com and on iTunes.